on.
I'm busy. Look. There goes the game.
You're listening to Ithaca Now, WICB's weekly news program focused on stories in the Ithaca community. I'm your host, Madri Sade, and thanks for joining us. On tonight's show, News Director George Christopher will cover the Common Council approval of the latest police reform recommendations from the Reimagining Public Safety Special Committee. But first, we have Caroline Grass and Joshua Pantano with Community Beat, and Liam McDermott with this week's Politics Beat.
After 2 years of discussion, the Town of Lansing Planning Board approved the site plan for a Dandy Mini-Mart located along Route 34. The location will feature several gasoline and diesel fueling islands, a drive-through window, and nearly 40 parking spots. The Planning Board did not vote unanimously in favor of the plan. Board Member Sandra Dennis-Conlin voted against the approval, and Board Member John Lisitra abstained from voting. As of now, there is not a set date for the opening of the new location.
Laura W. Johnson Kelly was named the Tompkins County Historian by the Tompkins County Legislature last week after the county administrator held a search process. The previous county historian was Carol Common, who was in the role for the past 23 years. Johnson Kelly was the historian for the town of Ithaca from 2004 to 2015 and has retired from Cornell, where she was the acting director of administrative collection management in the Department of Near Eastern Studies. Johnson Kelly is also currently a trustee at the History Center for Tompkins County.
After the creation of the Tompkins County Poet Laureate in 2001, 11 local poets have taken on the two-year role of sharing their poetry with the community. In February of this year, Janie E. Bibby was appointed the 2023 and 2024 Poet Laureate of Tompkins County. The title of Bibby's project as Tompkins County Poet Laureate is Poems Share the Words.
Second Wind Cottages, a nonprofit organization that has 18 cottages in Newfield to help formerly homeless individuals live in affordable housing, withdrew its expansion funding application from the Tompkins County Recovery Fund. And now the County Fund Committee is deciding where the extra $510,000 should go. Second Wind met resistance from town residents of Newfield and town officials at their proposal to add 12 to 15 cottages to their small housing development. The committee's discussion last week decided that no new applications for further funding would be accepted. Instead, the 27 applications from last year that made it past the first vote but did not get funded are automatically being considered. Additionally, each legislator can choose one application from any of the 150 from last year, meaning about 40 total applications will be eligible to receive part of the $500,000 of now surplus funding.
Ithaca's car sharing service is currently at risk of closure due to a New York State insurance regulation. The regulation prohibits risk retention groups, which are liability insurance companies owned by its members, from offering auto insurance in New York unless they are situated within the state. Currently, Ithaca CarShare is the only nonprofit car share company in New York State and has been operational since 2008. For WICB News, I'm Joshua Pantano.
In their meeting on Tuesday, the Tompkins County Legislature shared their plans for a $30.6 million plan to build a new center of government on North Tioga Street. The only impediment, the legislature says, is the parking situation, as the new building would bring in an influx of both county employees and citizens and would also eliminate 17 parking spots. With the nearby Seneca parking garage set for renovation, parking may be very limited for a while. There is no word yet on when construction of the new center for government will begin. The Common Council voted on Wednesday to extend the city's contract with the Camden Group to run the Ithaca Area Wastewater Facility Treatment Facility through the end of this year. This comes as the city hired the Camden Group to run the facility in January 2022, citing staff shortages. The city continues to say that the Camden Group running the plant is a temporary solution. For Politics Beat, I'm Leah McDermott.
You're listening to Ithaca Now. I'm your host, Himadri Sate. Last month, the Reimagining Public Safety Special Committee advanced their recommendations for reforms to public safety and policing in Ithaca. The Special Committee was a do-over of sorts, with the Reimagining Public Safety Working Group, which published its own recommendations last year. The Special Committee's recommendations were taken up by the Common Council this past Wednesday. News Director George Christopher has more.
Last week,
We brought you a story on the Reimagining Public Safety Special Committee. In that story, we covered the recommendations offered by the committee, including a deputy city manager position to oversee public safety and create a pilot program in conjunction with the PBA and the Ithaca Police Department for call types that can be transferred to non-law enforcement officials, the creation of a co-response team to respond to calls with police, increased protections for whistleblowers and resources for the Community Police Board, support improving training to maintain progressive change in the police department, and review structures to provide oversight, including the creation of a public safety committee. This report was significantly different from the original report published by the Reimagining Public Safety Working Group. That report called for a restructuring of the police department and the creation of a new division of unarmed first responders under a city department. That report was steeped in controversy due to an ethics investigation still being conducted by the county and claims by some that the report didn't take in enough input from the police. It should be noted, Acting Police Chief John Joly, PBA President Thomas Kunzella, and former IPD Lieutenant Scott Gammon were all members of the working group. The working group's report, published last year, was, quote, accepted but not adopted, unquote, by the Common Council. The special committee was made up of common counselors, but several veterans of the working group did contribute to the report. The new report took a significantly more moderate approach than the original working group's. At Wednesday's meeting, members of the public spoke to express their frustrations with the length of the process and the council's unwillingness to pursue the bolder solutions.
And I also want to frame your attention around the fact that, like, this executive order that you guys are executing came out from the governor at the time because police officers are brutalizing, killing, and disproportionately mass incarcerating Black people in America, including in New York, including in Ithaca. We have our own laundry list of incidents, none of which, to any extent that I'm aware, have seen the officers dismissed from the department. And looking at the recommendations that are being considered here, like, and the impetus of this executive order, the core question is, what are you going to do to make sure that this does not happen again? Not what are you going to do to have more data about it when it happens, or have more liability assurance that the person went through X or Y training. What are you going to do to make sure that this does not happen again? Maybe sending some unarmed officers and reducing the number of situations where there's a distressed person and a guy with a gun is going to reduce this. But, like, it's been 3 years and we're hearing the same recommendations. And so my question is, like, do we have a problem around this? Like, what's the holdup?
The asks for many in the community are set in stone, however. We demand cutbacks on the number of officers armed with deadly weapons, and to reallocate those funds to unarmed crisis responders, affordable housing, and mental health services. Data shows that when all people's needs are met, a community becomes safer for everyone. There needs to be an end to sending armed police to go out to calls and mobile crisis team, especially calls for BIPOC folks, and instead send more team members out with extensive training and provide funding for more supportive services that people actually ask for and need. I work in housing justice and am a tenant myself and would like to have much more affordable quality housing for intensely resource-strapped tenant market that we have here in the city of Ithaca. I also deeply wish for a number to call that would mitigate harm for someone in crisis, not exacerbate it, for professionals and community members who will care and come up with solutions, not violence. As a city that claims to be progressive, we need to stop saying, like, paying lip service to the safety of Black and Brown community members and actually start protecting them.
I can tell you that in 3 years, I feel no more safe. I never called the police. I'm not going to name names because I'm trying to be respectful to the rules of this council meeting, but I've had several run-ins with police that made me realize and make me know even more that I feel less safe. And I don't want any of my people, Black people, calling the police because they're not going to feel any safer. Until we deal with the root causes of the police brutality, the root causes of need in this town, right? Outreach, talking about actually getting to the root causes of crime, right? Needs, housing, right? We talked about the housing there, things that can actually make a difference for people. That's where the funding needs to go. And I see so many opportunities, I see many opportunities squandered and not talked about. I talked about again and again and again, it's the same cycle. I think a lot of people are sitting. Thank you.
When it came time for the council itself to take up the report, they explained that there had been changes made between the report's final approval by the Reimagining Public Safety Special Committee and the Common Council meeting. Some changes were banal, including a reordering of the recommendations and changing the name of the Crisis Co-Response Team, dropping the word crisis and changing it to simply Co-Response Team. Councilor George McGonigal, a member of the Special Committee, explained the change.
This was something that the county felt fairly strongly about. We did not call it a crisis co-response team anymore. We're just calling it a co-response team. That's kind of a placeholder, really. The deputy city manager may have ideas about what they want to call this team, or we may want to call it something later, but for now, we're calling it a co-response team.
Other changes included adding, quote, American Indians, unquote, to a list of marginalized groups. Councilor Cynthia Brock, another member of the Special Committee, also responded to claims that the co-response team may be subject to the same culture as the police department, potentially tainting their role as a counterbalance, and explained the vision for the co-response team.
The co-response team is separate from the police department, would be housed in a different department than the police department. This is not a mental health response. That is being handled by the CJC and the county. That is the county jurisdiction. So it's not a mental health crisis response team, but it is a team that would co-respond with law enforcement to nonviolent call types and be that connection with victims and victims' families to help connect them as needed with services if they need it, whether or not it's social service, family services, to help assist them and be that basically that warm handoff to follow up with them. How are things going? You know, are you connecting with the services you need to try to address issues from that angle? So it's not CAHOOTS, it's not a mental health response. That is something that the county is spearheading. That is their jurisdiction. This is more sort of an interpersonal connection. And we look towards times when there may be times when they can go on their own. There may be times that then if the IPD doesn't need to be there, they will leave, and those individuals would stay behind to help. So that's the vision for that team.
Councilor Brock later explains the move towards a pilot program for non-law enforcement responses rather than more concrete plans by saying the city needs to work collaboratively with the police. Councilor Phoebe Brown seemed to suggest that relationship needs to go both ways.
Working with law enforcement to identify calls that can be responded to by people who are not police officers, we need to work collaboratively with our department in order to identify those call posts.
They have to work collaboratively with us.
Yes, exactly. And this is part of that program.
The council also changed a provision encouraging officers to participate in community events. The new report specifies officers should only participate in, quote, invited events to assuage fear police may encroach on safe spaces for marginalized communities.
One of the public comments was concerned, the item was building relationships with IPD officers and community members and increasing officer participation at community organization events. And the concern was, you know, we don't want to take away safe spaces for individuals in the community.
McGonigal said public comment showed Ithacans wanted an IPD with a more personal connection to the community. But McGonigal also insisted staffing was a constant impediment to so-called community policing.
It was clear, listening to people in the community, that they want IPD to serve their communities and not just come to like a barbecue once a year, but to show an interest in their communities and in their community organizations on an ongoing basis, to get out of their cars, to talk to people. As Phoebe says, even when you're understaffed, you can still smile at people and say hello. And that's a big part of what we want. You can't get away from the fact that in order to do good community policing, we can't be down 15 officers. We can't ignore community policing when we're understaffed, but we can do a much better job when we have a full contingent of not just police, but also these co-responders.
Another major change was with regards to the Community Police Board. The report published last month by the Special Committee called for the police chief and officers to be required to participate in CPB investigations and review. However, the report taken up by the committee on Wednesday says that the chief must participate in, quote, CPB meetings and oversight responsibilities. The new report also allows the chief to defer that responsibility to a designee. It doesn't make any requirements of police officers writ large. Another change to this section was in funding for third-party review investigations into police conduct. The original report called for funding to be provided and utilized for third-party review of IPD internal investigations and high-interest or complex community complaints. The new report allows funds to be used for third-party investigations as well as high-profile CPB complaints, but uses the word may, indicating it may be at the discretion of the Common Council. We spoke with McGonigal to explain these changes. He said they came at the behest of the Community Police Board, which didn't want to see their role expanded beyond their means. McGonigal also said the CPB felt that police officers were already willing to participate in investigations, and creating a requirement could have damaged the dynamic between the board and officers.
The only substantive changes in the report were involved the Community Police Board, and those changes were made because the members of the Community Police Board wanted those changes. So the first one you mentioned, which does not require police to participate in an investigation if they don't want to, that was changed because the members of the board felt that it should be a voluntary thing. It's working real well right now. Nobody's refusing to participate. But they felt if it was a requirement, that would create kind of a different atmosphere. And so that's why we made that change at their recommendation.
The new report allows the funding to be used for third-party investigations, which seems like a significant change as well, as well as high-profile CPB complaints. But the word may is used. Does that indicate that the Common Council has discretion over whether or not to provide those funds? They can, but they can choose not to as well?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, Common Council has the power to release funds for anything or not. And the members of the Community Police Board felt that that was just beyond their scope to call for an independent investigation. They can recommend something like that, but it's ultimately Common Council's job to call for that extra investigation and to pay for it. So that was really a proper change because the CPB, Community Police Board, has a specific undertaking, which is investigating complaints, but not going farther than that. And if it becomes something complex, then council has to deal with that.
During the Common Council's meeting, McGonigal made a final case for the passage of the report and directly responded to the frustrations expressed during the public comment portion.
A lot of people's complained tonight about how slow this process has gone. Once we approve this report, we can get down to business. So I encourage you to vote for it.
However, the council's left wing offered their own proposed change. Councilor Jorge Difendini, supported by Councilor Phoebe Brown, called for language to be added to direct the new Public Safety Committee to study the city of Rochester's Police Accountability Board. After brief confusion, where Councilor McGonigal claimed Difendini's proposal was illegal, seemingly misunderstanding Difendini's proposal, Councilor Rob Gearhart of the 3rd Ward chastised Difendini, saying it was inappropriate to offer such an amendment verbally so late in the meeting.
I just want to talk about this procedurally, because I'm not necessarily saying that the idea isn't worth exploring, but I think we're talking about ways that that can be explored without, at 9:45 at night, adding a verbal, very complex amendment to a resolution that is not friendly to the proposer. So if you want to move that and put it to a vote of this body, we can do that, but that's how this needs to work. And I'm a little nervous to do that kind of complexity in this resolution at 9:45 at night, when we still have executive session ahead of us. So let's also respect the work that our colleagues did to put all of this in writing in front of us so that we could manage the complex changes that were being made to this. Complex may be a strong word, because I think maybe up to George's point, we're not complex, but they were detailed for us to follow. That is not a respectful way to add a complex idea verbally to this and expect us to be able to react to it now.
Councilor McGonigal agreed.
I have no objection to you bringing up this topic in the future, but I do object to you bringing it up at the end of the meeting, and this is what we heard about it. So that's why I don't support the addition to this.
Ultimately, Difendini withdrew his proposal, saying it was for the sake of continuing the process along. The council adopted the Reimagining Public Safety Special Committee report by a vote of 10-0. With every member voting in the affirmative. The process, which has been underway for years, may finally be at a point where concrete action will be taken. However, whether that action will meet the needs or expectations of Ithacans and grassroots activists has yet to be seen. Reporting for Ithaca Now, I'm George Christopher.
That's all for this week's Ithaca Now. You can listen to all of our stories on wicb.org. And if you'd like to listen to past shows, follow WICB on SoundCloud and subscribe to Ithaca Now to hear the show anywhere, anytime. Also subscribe to The Latest to hear our daily newscast every weekday. Just search WICB News Presents on your favorite podcast app. For more updates throughout the week, follow WICB News on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This show wouldn't happen without the support and assistance from Manager of Television and Radio Operations, Jeremy Menard, WICB Station Manager, Connor Hibbard, and Programming Director, Harrison Kona. Thank you. Ithaca Now is produced by News Director, George Christopher, with assistance from News Production Director, Liam McDermott, our Web Coordinator, Inbaini Andresan, and Social Media Coordinator, Chess Cabrera. All of the music from our show's intro and outro comes from Dr. Dundiff of Louisville, Kentucky. Have any feedback, story ideas, just want to say hi? Feel free to reach out by emailing news@wicb.org. We will be back with a full episode of Ithaca Now at 7 p.m. next Sunday.